Let's just do this a little different. Let's just go back to our memory. That's going to be hard for us. I want to get a bigger picture in terms of some things that you're learning as you go through the gospel of John. And I know that what you say, you were not even looking at your notes or your study, and you did look at your notes, but there should be a few things that stand out to you. What are they? That's what you're going to remember from this, because I've given you a lot of information as we've gone very slowly through this gospel. So. Take your time.
Well, it's about belief and unbelief.
Okay. What is it that you, for the last 2 years, you know, that's a lot, but what have you learned from the Gospel of John? What's God teaching you? Okay, this is your time to share, which means that I'm going to require you to share. So.
In Christ, in that we would we go on the, and we begin to recognize the shepherd's voice, and then we can hear him, he can speak to us. It's just, I guess you're not playing fully, but basically, all we can see is what one would teach me along with your own, which you seem to be able to tell the other way. Yeah. We want the Spirit to have him there, to have his joy immediately, to step right into a joy. By having that relationship, it all starts off with me.
That's a good loop. Okay. Lloyd, you're not going to go unscathed in this time. You can't look at Debbie's nose. Okay?
Thing that I never really considered before is,
can you speak up?
The thing that I had never seen before, considered before, is somebody so adamantly against Christ to the point that no matter what evidence is given, they won't believe. No matter what, and not only that, that there is a point that an individual can get to where they're terminal. And basically, he basically said to them, "You're going to die in your sin," and he was still standing in front of them. So it's a sad thing to see them. Somebody go to that point, but I guess we got family members and people we talk to and stuff like that, and it's no different today.
Right. Even,
it's no different today as it was back then. You outlined your four types of believers, with your four C's. I can't remember them all.
Okay. So it was in the audience after all those years, 2 years roughly of ministry.
And then as far as it's going here, it seems like it's getting more intense, the animosity. Mm-hmm. The temperature's increasing as chapter 8.
Yep.
I had to look it up to see how long ago it was that I remembered this, but it's, he's here,
yeah.
Behold him and follow him. And that was back in
chapter 4, too, right?
24, yeah, 2024, where I was just like, oh, wow.
John the Baptist's testimony, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you look at, is it Nathan or Nathaniel? I can't remember the one.
And three.
And all he did was just say, he saw it. And then he believes. It wasn't even hardly anything. And
well, not only that.
Jesus says that was hardly anything, and that you'll see greater things than these.
Yeah.
No, he already believed. What did he say about it?
He was the greatest.
Here's the Israelite in whom there is
no guile. No guile.
He was a true believer. He believed in the Messiah. So he was an Old Testament believer. Yeah, Abraham and so on.
Oh.
And so, yeah, we don't know much about him other than that, but I mean, he was pretty direct and a little simple, but see for sure. Yeah.
I always go back to, this is a verse that has always drawn me. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God."
Mm-hmm.
Every time I read that verse,
no matter what gets thrown to you, I can always go back and say, "Lord, Son of God, I've come and gone." Anything else? Can't believe you two haven't mentioned this one, because your jaw was on the ground. I thought about getting up and helping put your jaw back up. Yeah.
Woman.
Woman.
Yeah. Oh, that they set her up.
No.
No. Woman
What is that? What am I to do with that? Yes, yes.
What that signify?
What that signify in saying is that the relationship has changed.
Okay, yeah, well, the mother relationship had changed from being a mother to just being a regular person.
No, it was like, I'm now doing this about this is my father.
Yeah.
And that, look, you have.
Your job is done.
Yeah, and you're my mother and I want you, but I don't really report to you anymore.
What does that take?
And yet, when you saw the cross, he said to John, your mother, what did you hold our son?
But it didn't get her any special privileges.
What?
It didn't get her any special privileges. It wasn't like, you know, you still had to have her own belief and she didn't get any special privileges, just this, you're the mom.
Well, that, and yeah, it was it had his time not come. I mean, he did obviously do that anyway. He performed the miracle, but.
And the miracle was for the disciples, so they would believe.
Yeah. And the both the wedding host and the.
Is there one more that you, I can't believe you didn't bring it up, because you were flabbergasted. It was the second time I had to pick a jaw for. The man was healed at Solomon's portico, remember that? He was a paralytic and Jesus said, you're healed. What did he do to Jesus?
Turned him in.
Oh, and you were like flabbergasted. You were like, I were like, in your face.
Talking about.
You never.
Traitor.
Yeah, but you never read it that way.
No.
There's a lot of it that I've never written that way. Yeah. So,
I never thought of the Pharisees really setting up that woman in adultery just so they could prove the point. And where was the man that they maybe paid off to do?
Right.
You know, I mean, I didn't see all of that behind the scenes stuff that might have been going on. You know, I mean, they were really out to get me.
Right.
No, I mean, to her point, the Pharisees, I kind of believe they would do that because I look at them in political terms.
Yeah.
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 You know what I mean? Even the most altruistic politicians go in and then all of a sudden they turn into, you know, I'd rather be right or I'd rather be right than be right. I'd rather be right than be true. You know, I don't want to. And that just does blow my mind at how many people. Even though they knew the history and they had been read the scriptures, even if they couldn't read them, they'd been read them, and they still didn't believe he was who he was. And the leaders, believe it or not, they were just going to prove that he wasn't who he was because they would rather have their power than their salvation. They would rather have their power.
Yeah.
And how many people are we running to now that are exactly the same way? You know, you have these people that are in the middle of the road, people that are really going to follow the leaders, even though it's to their death, really.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not thinking for themselves at all.
Yeah, that's a good for us to relate to what was going on with Jesus and the Pharisees. It was political, but religious. But for us, no matter what Donald Trump does, they're going to be anti-whatever. And it's going to be what, like the Save America Act, voter ID thing. 85% of Americans want that, and like, just because it's what he is pushing. And I have these, I went down to pick up a ham yesterday at Gallup, and there was this sign. These people honk if you want Trump to fail. They're all this, you know, and they're all older people, like hippies, you know, and it's just.
Only leave Costco, same thing every Sunday.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't.
If you like it or not, you shouldn't want
it to fail. And I'm like, you can have that, the people that, we'll get started in a minute, that what this mayor of Seattle is doing, driving businesses and billionaires away, it's just like, that's roadmap has already been done in California. It has not worked.
No, but there's still supporting that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Howard Schultz that day, so I'm sort of done. I don't live here. Why would you? But who suffers in that? Well, the small businesses won't be able to make it. It's just in Seattle. And they're going to defund the police again, I'm just saying.
That's exactly why I moved into Canada, because I'm not going to.
So. But it makes absolutely no sense, and it's because they've been given over to a depraved mind, in my opinion, to these people.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that's happened to the people that used to the
West. I do think of those people. I'm like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, even if you go to a good church, you should be looking at the scriptures, and if they're telling you something that's, you know, they're twisting it, you should walk away.
And that's just it, and that's what's happening with that James Tallarico, who was a progressive candidate in Texas, but his theology is, you know, he speaks in Christian terms, and they think, oh, well, he's a nice guy, he's Christian, and he says, you know, God's okay with abortion because the angel came and asked Mary if it was okay before. These are the things, and that there's six genders. I don't know where he finds that, but he says abortion isn't in the Bible, and all these things that aren't in the Bible that you can look at and say, well. And those who don't know the scriptures, and honestly, our daughter-in-law said, well, what about this guy? You know, so Don's busy trying to find out about him, and all the stuff we read is in, has he read his Bible? But he's in seminary, and he's in a mainline denomination.
Wow.
And
I had not, I knew who he was, but I knew just enough that
Esther, what is she,
She just said, Don, something about, what about this guy? Have you heard about this guy?
What? Has Don got back to her and said,
not yet.
And let her do the work. She's even willing to do the work to find out what he says and what the Bible says. And if she's not willing to do that, then it's just
that's a good point.
It does not matter.
I should mention that.
What you say, because, you know, unless she has some sort of frame of reference for the truth, then it doesn't matter at all, because what he's saying is truth is personal. We've been over this. If that's what she wants, that's, if she wants that, she just doesn't.
He's saying this is what the Bible says.
I know that, but then she needs to see if this is what the Bible, then let the Word of God do its work on her, not Don do the work for her, because she's already going to have her defenses up.
Is she asking me to say this, because she asked me from the point of view?
So people believe whatever they want to believe. This is going to be a mark of the last
thing. They don't like one thing, and then it's easy to ask somebody else for sure. And then you can say, well, you know, this is this, but you've never looked anything up yourself at all. So if it doesn't align with what makes you happy.
Well, I know that Faith and Victory Church, they were at three services at one time until they did a fund capital campaign to get rid of the debt, which is what churches do. A third of the people left. Just that.
Oh. Wow. Because they needed to give rid of the debt.
Yeah. Because they thought that they were coming from the mind. Well, you don't have to give, it's just this is what the Bible says, but you're going to get out of debt.
That's the conviction of somebody that has the money to the
one. But that's my whole point.
Is
that an
ulterior motive.
No, it wasn't an ulterior motive at all. And so churches do that all the time. I mean, it's biblical, but they're going to leave for whatever reason they want to leave.
Yeah.
If they're not. That's one of the reasons why we used to, at previous churches that I pastored, we would follow up of a first-time visitor, and Eric was in charge of it, and we'd give them a visit, give them homemade cookies and more information. And the idea was, the church group folks was to shock them that they would come back for a second visit. And if they came back for a second visit, we needed to retain them at an 80% clip, where we weren't doing our job. Well, you take that model and throw it out over here at all. I felt like I was,
here they won't even take your,
yeah, here I was like, I'm not going to recruit people. And
it's interesting that people think of it that way, though, and not in a different way, though. It's interesting to think of it, honestly, to think back to when I first started coming to church, at this church, never would have thought of it in that way. I thought of it more because we had attended Grace for a bit. Is that actually somebody noticed you were here? Not that they were trying to, you know, lure you into some kind of cult. I mean, that's how I think of it. But for me, it was that somebody actually noticed that you were here. Somebody remembered your name. Somebody, you know, not that they were trying to buy you over.
Yeah.
Well, the manifestation of that thing is the reason why you have coffee churches. And that was what they had to have at the church in Indiana. they had it way too big. That whole back wall was about the size of our Erica of the cafe. Of the cafe, but there's donuts, you got any coffee. Yeah, you walked in, that's what growing churches have, that's what they had to have.
It means nothing if nobody remembers.
Right.
Nobody talks to you or remembers.
Well, we did all that too.
We did that, so like, since I was, you know, I was in charge of that whole team, so I had a whole team of people, like, what, 10 people, 12 people?
They greeted them, yeah.
And I trained them, and we kept track of the visitors. I put the names in a spreadsheet, reviewed them, and memorized them, so when they came back that second time, we greeted them by name. We delivered bread. We did all that.
Did nothing. Nothing.
It still doesn't do anything if the Lord isn't working and they don't want
to. Yeah.
So I have that. Dude, you got to do all that. Like, you're not being business. I'm not going to.
I still think you should learn.
I'm not going to build a guest relationship here. There's a waste of time. We don't have enough business. I can see them. I know, we all know who they are. We talk to them, and you know. And so that's the extent of that. But anyways, that's the point, is that you can try and reach out to people. Jesus did that, right?
Yeah.
He constantly offered them the gospel, but he didn't appease them. In fact, after a point, he stopped it, and he said some very harsh things in hopes to maybe adapt with. You know, I pray for people, you know, the neighbors and family members and whatnot. And if you're going to pray for somebody to believe in Jesus Christ, it's just pray according to the scripture, right? Let's pray that God would send his Holy Spirit to convict them. What does the Holy Spirit convict them of? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so I pray that they would be unable to sleep that night because they're convicted of their sin. That's what moved Nicodemus to do what he did. That's what moved the person to say, I have mercy on me, God, I'm a sinner. You know, and then that they would, God would create them a hunger for the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and then they also would lose sleep because of their fear of the judgment of God. When someone really is at that point, then they will believe, as opposed to someone that casually hears the gospel over and over again, and they slowly believe. Which is, I would say that salvation is very clearly a work of God. And that's what you see here. If someone's going to be here, it's because God has called them here. And I remember ministering to people here, but I was to get lunch with them and never see them again. And I was flabbergasted and then realized that this was a testimony of all the other pastors. I didn't go to this last, the month of March, the Auburn pastor meeting, but the previous one, they said that it's true now, and I've seen it even in this church. And I won't mention anybody's name, but normal church attendance now, faithful church attendance is once a month.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, that's yes.
Way too much. No.
Surveyed it, yeah. Well,
that's so odd.
They consider that faithful attendance to become once a month.
Wow.
So. Think about it. There are people that you don't see about once a month now. That have been coming regularly. And I don't judge them or anything. It's just an observation that that's just kind of what's happening. And I think part of that is the fact that it's come from kind of COVID when they were coming.
Yeah. Once you start a habit, it's hard to.
Right.
Yeah, it's hard to break.
Well, I heard so many people say it's just so easy to be able to go to church in my pajamas and I'll just watch it online.
YouTube, yeah.
That's legit for people that can't get here.
Exactly.
Or once in a while.
Yeah, for others, you can watch a sermon over again.
That's how I watched that sermon on Paul.
Yeah.
When he was so happy.
So Jesus has been talking to this crowd in chapter 7 and 8, okay? And there's the four types of people, the four C's. And those are, I don't want to put Lloyd in the spot, but the convinced, the contrary,
confused,
the confused, and the compliant. Okay. And he was very direct with them, with what he said. He says, where I'm going, you cannot come. You're going to die in your sin. What's he saying to them? I'm going to where?
Heaven.
You can't come here. So then where are they going?
To the lake of fire.
Yes, to the lake of fire. Okay. So, picked up real quick, and we'll go through this very quickly. Verse 22. I know there was briefly last week. Therefore the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, will he, since he says, where I'm going, you cannot come. Okay? Any questions? See that? They think he's going to, he's been warning them for 2.5 years, either choose heaven or hell, and most have responded by rejecting him. To those who have rejected him, he plainly tells them, you are not going to heaven, where I'm going. You'll spend eternity dead in your sins in hell. And they respond by mocking him. Verse 22 is them mocking him, as if this is a joke. They're laughing. There's humor in this.
I don't get that. What is it? Maybe will he kill himself because he says, where I go, you cannot come. Is that being
they find his mission? Suicide, and they believe
yes.
That suicide and went straight to hell.
Okay. Yeah. And so they think he's going to commit suicide. You say, what does that mean? Well, the Jews believe suicide was the worst sin. You know, and he would go to good Abraham's bosom. He'd go to that part of Hades where he would suffer. And that's kind of how they were treating him. They were mocking him. And I went over that a little bit last week. And I talked about the story from John MacArthur about the young man from Australia, the writer. His heart was completely hardened against the teaching and preaching and ministry of Billy Graham as he heard him preach. He didn't want to hear anything about going to hell. He wanted something that would comfort him. And that man is the same as the religious people during the time of Jesus. They developed a religious system in which it believed that you could attain eternity through self-righteousness. And because this man had attained self-righteousness without any fear, he mocks the truth. And that's what people that are particularly legalists do. And if you're a Jew, it wasn't the fact that you had done anything religiously, it's the fact that you were simply Jewish by birth. You were good with God. And so verse 23, I think this is where he left off, and he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So he got what they were saying to him. They said he's going to kill himself, and they're implying he must be going to Hades. He says, you're from Hades. I am from above. I am from heaven. You got it backwards. You're from Hades. So this is pretty direct, okay? I do believe that there is a level of directness that you eventually arrive at when you are sharing your faith with somebody that you know, okay? So let's take, for example, and I'll just use this as a product. Let's say that I am Don, and I'm dealing with Esther. I've known Esther for years, and I have a little bit about her religious background. At some point in time, I think we say that, and I don't know if it's true or not, that Esther is refusing to believe, I would pick up on the intensity of some of the way I would share the gospel. Because if reason isn't working, and all the evidence isn't working, eventually you can just go to, in a kind way, but you're going to speak the truth and love. This is how it is. It's either heaven or hell, and this is a choice that you have to make. And are you willing to risk that? Now, we're only talking about offense this morning in the sermon, but that's not you being a stumbling block. That is out of love speaking the truth, and the truth in and of itself is offensive. And that is the most loving thing you can do to somebody that you know, that you've no relation with, that you're sharing your faith with. And it does not matter anymore with reason, with logic. It just doesn't get anywhere. You just have to share the gospel, trust that the gospel is the power of God and of salvation. And then you can talk a little more about what they don't want to talk about, what they don't want to hear. And that is that there is a judgment that's coming. And the best argument for that, out of personal experience, is the sense of justice that they feel, the sense of accountability. Americans feel that way. How many Americans support what we're doing in Iran right now? because it's been 47 years of what they've done to us, and why we haven't done anything is mind-boggling. And so for the most part, they're for this. What is that? Where'd that come from? That's a sense of this is just justice. Okay? And so that's what you're appealing to when you talk to somebody like that. That Jesus is at that point. He's being, now it's no longer, you know, just believe in me and look what I'm doing here and the kind acts I'm doing and all the signs and wonders. It's, I'm from heaven, you're from hell. This is where you're going. And what did he mean, you're from Hades? Well, what he means is that they were born like other human beings. What he means is your unbelief and your willful self-righteousness come from Hades. It's straight out of the pit of hell. Where is the largest country, the largest population of self-righteous people?
Right here.
No. It's not heaven. It's where?
Oh,
hell. Hell.
Oh. Yeah, that's
what I thought. Yeah, I have
the first word.
That's the largest. That's the largest population of self-righteous people are in. And what are they doing right now?
They're in torment. They're either TikToks or they're sorrow people.
We also know that they are in agony in the flames. They're suffering. Okay. They are spawned from the enemy, Satan. And Jesus makes the distinction clear. He says, I'm going to God, and you are not. They say, oh, you must be going to the pit to avoid us. And he says, no, you've got it backwards. You're going there because that's where you're from. In other words, you're a part of this world system and all of its sin and temptations. Did you know that an unbelieving person in this world is from beneath? In the sense they are part of the evil system of this world. Remember what he said? You walk according to the course of the prince of the power of air, Ephesians 2:3. The same book he says in Ephesians, a believer's where? From above. Blessed with every spiritual blessing from the heavenly places. Our citizenship, Philippians, what? In heaven. Okay? That's why I say, I said, the citizen of the kingdom of God, that's what you are. So we're connected to either heaven or hell while we're alive by virtue of whom we identify with. Verse 24, he says, I said therefore to you that you shall die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Now, as I said, he uses the word sins here, and it's no longer sin, it's sins, it's plural. That's encompasses all forms of unbelief or rejection. If you want to die in your sins, be unbelieving. That's it. You do not have to go out and kill somebody to go to hell. Just do not believe. Hell is not for people who are all criminals. Hell is for everybody and anybody who refuses Christ. That's why I think when we get to heaven, we're going to see people there that we had no idea that you killed this person. You did this, you did that. But if they get right at some point in your life, they believed. And God isn't going to force you to dwell with him forever and eternity. Remember, the way of faith is open. You can believe or you cannot believe. The choice is yours. And notice what he says, if you believe that I am he. See that in verse 24? I am he. In other words, you have to believe that I am who I claim to be. So it isn't enough to believe that Jesus is the one you think he is. You must believe that he is the one whom he claimed to be. Because back then and today, people still say that Jesus is a good man or a good teacher, and that is not enough. That ain't gonna cut it. Okay. So when God said his name, he said, my name is I am. And throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus keeps repeating seven what? I am statements. And the bread of life, and the water of life, and the light of the world, and the good shepherd, and the door, and the resurrection, I am the life, and the way, and the truth, and the life. It goes on and on and on. He kept saying those things over and over again. He would identify himself with God. So believing, going to heaven, it's a son question. It is not a sin question. That makes sense? So that's why in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing a message about Christ. Yeah? It says that you can never have true faith unless you hear the truth about Christ. So the old translations of Romans 10:17 say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, but the Greek actually says faith comes by hearing a speech about Christ. It's a speech about him. To hear about him. And his claims. Who he is, and to believe in your heart that he is who he claimed to be, and that God verified that claim by raising him from the dead. That is what you believe in order to be saved. Any questions so far?
So you said that Hebrews said. Faith comes by hearing.
Greek says, faith comes by hearing a speech about Christ.
He called himself I am. Shouldn't the Pharisees have looked back on God sitting with Moses?
Sure.
He says, I am.
Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, they knew who he was, but they suppressed the truth. That's what we do, unbelievers do with the truth, they suppress it. Because they said he wasn't from where? He was from Galilee, but where was he, the Messiah from where? Bethlehem, right?
Yeah, but if they had gone in and read the
there's a record of it in the treasury.
The vital statistics.
And we think that they may even know that. And they suppressed the truth to deceive the crowds.
Okay? He was also out of Egypt.
What?
He was also out of Egypt.
Yeah, they could have found all that out. So what'd they do? How'd they smear? What was their agenda? Because we have a great picture of what in politics we do to, particularly right now in history, is what the Democrats are doing to Donald Trump and all the negative narrative. But what did they do to Jesus? What was the propaganda? They could not explain away his signs and wonders. They didn't attack that. That was overwhelming.
He's a bastard.
Illegitimate. He was a bastard. What else? Where he was from. They did that with knowledge. What else did they say about him?
That his power came from
Satan. Yeah, all that stuff was spread and it was effective. It was effective. Okay. So that this strategy that the Marxists use, and the strategy was what? We would make the long march to the institution that slowly will take over the educational system, we'll get control of the media. And they'll push their beliefs, and eventually, I have a generation, now my kids don't do this, but the generation that my kids have, they believe the homosexual age more won't accept. That wasn't what we believed, we grew up with. You can't watch, you don't see this anymore, Wayne's World, because it's not on TV that much. Well, why? Because there's a scene in there where he says, a homo says what? And the guy said what? Almost, they're laughing about that because that's what we thought about homosexuality. Not anymore. I mean, that's why you don't see that particular show. It's not played that much anymore. It doesn't fit the narrative. Okay? So that's what they were doing to Jesus, and it was effective. Verse 25. So they were saying to him, who are you? 2.5 years with this guy. So Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They didn't realize he was speaking to them about the Father. I mean, they're that far gone. It didn't matter what he said. But there's still people in the crowd that are considering it. They're confused. Some that are compliant. Okay, so he's reaching out to them. Who are you is better translated, who do you think you are? Okay? That's how it should be translated, who do you think you are?
In verse 25?
Yeah.
Instead of who are you, it's who do you think you are?
Yeah. You're telling us we're going to die in our sins. Do you know who you're talking to? We're the spiritual elite. You're some nobody from Nazareth who comes down here to tell the leaders of Jerusalem what's what. What gives you the right to assume a role of equality with God? What gives you the right to say you are the I am? So this is willful ignorance. And that's who populates hell. Hell will be filled with people who are there because they willed to be ignorant, which is why I said, Master, do the work. See where the heart is. He was consistent with his claims of who he was. They just willfully chose to reject it. Not only that was he consistent with his teaching and his claims of who he was, it was backed up by what he did. And it still wasn't enough. If you don't have enough information now, he's saying, I can't give you any more. Verse 26 says, I have a lot more to say, but they're words of judgment, and that's not just my words of judgment, they're God's words of judgment, because God's committed all judgment to me, to the Son. And willful ignorance brings judgment. Unbelief brings judgment. Self-righteousness brings judgment. And they are so lost, so blind, so depraved in their thinking, they didn't even recognize what was happening. Verse 27. It was not possible in their minds that God was his Father.
There's quite a contrast to how they're treating him, to how a prophet in the Old Testament would be absolutely feared. People were afraid of him because they didn't know what would be coming out of their mouth that would cause harm. And here, there's absolutely no fear at all before the most powerful being in your presence.
I think that the reason why there wasn't as much fear is that they were energized by Satan, restrained by the Holy Spirit until the time came. And they were leery of arguing with him because they were humiliated each time. So they would annoy him, they would harass him, they would nag him wherever he went. But it was murderous intent that was in their hearts. So there was no way you're ever going to be able to convince them. So, and I guess my point would be that, especially today, we always need to be tolerant of other people and continue to be nice and kind, and yes, you do. But you need to be very, because of one time, you need to be more direct in your gospel presentation. This is what I believe. Okay? And it's not just me. It's billions of people over thousands of years that have believed this, that people have given their lives for this. There's something here you need to look at. And so, that's ultimately what it comes down to. I don't want to see, as much as I get frustrated driving and I will curse people and this and that, we all do this to God. I know. We all do that, okay? And so we don't really mean that because we look at pictures we do get in the scriptures and say, who would ever wish that upon anybody? You never would, okay? Except for that slower person in the grocery store that has slowed me down. I had no patience with them whatsoever.
I got my checkbook behind me.
But I am going nuts. I am dying inside. I just had a workout 5 minutes my heart rate's gone up. Can't do that to me. It's getting
pissed off.
I do that, but sometimes the people don't follow the rules and they have a whole cart full of stuff and say 12 items or less. I want to say, can you not read?
That's what I know.
You know, and so.
Just stand there if I refuse. If you're not just counting my groceries.
Oh my God. It takes me more time because it's like, what? I have to look this vegetable up. There's no tag on it?
Yeah.
I'm like, just go to the regular thing.
I go to it. I do not search it out.
Do you?
I'd rather have them bring it to me.
In your car.
In my car.
I don't want to pick up my produce because I'm watching.
That's not, funnily enough, the Ariel's right. And it's just like, right, I can go and pick produce and watch it. So.
Look, never order a cold Amazon fresh.
No, I don't think that.
They can't, it was
cheaper. You're digressing here, so. Okay, let's.
You don't want to hear my story, though?
Yeah.
Well, at 10:25, no, I'm not.
All right.
I'm scared of the money.
You know what I'm really saying about your
name? Guys.
It comes down to love. Yeah. Sometimes loving someone is gently not getting to the heart of the matter, not even addressing their sin at first. Sometimes it's just letting them know Jesus loves them and you'd like to reconvene another time and talk about it. And sometimes love is telling them
straight up.
Straight. And that's why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit. Does. It's how does God love us? Sometimes he's very gentle and sometimes he's very kind. And
to Lloyd's point, there's intensity. I said the point of John chapter 5. There's an intensity towards Jesus because he did break the Sabbath by healing that person. He challenged him. He's doing it on purpose. He's creating conflict. They're going to push him over and kill him, and that needs to happen. But it's pretty direct here. So we need to. The appropriate times you feel led, you can do that. Father, we thank you for this time and continue to speak through all of us, through me, as we study the Word of God. Worship with our voices this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.